Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Anybody is excited for what God is doing in our church? Is there anybody who's excited for what God is doing in our church? I mean, this is the launch of our third service at Victory Outreach Manchester. That's something to get excited about. Service just for the sake of it. We started the first service because the second service is at maximum capacity. That's a great problem for the church to have, because we know that as we're doing outreach, souls are being saved, souls are coming into the church, and now it's time for us to expand. So just before we're seated, I just ask if you've got your Bibles with you. I see a lot of empty hands, but I know a few of you might have phones, tablets, whatever it is that you got. We got our devices these days. And we're just going to read John 6, and we're going to read from 16 to 21, and we're going to get straight into the word. It says, "Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because of a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, 'It is I, do not be afraid.' Then they were willing to receive him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for your magnificent word. We thank you for your spirit, Lord God, that is evident with us right now at this time, Lord God. Father, I ask, Lord God, that you would anoint me to preach your word with power. I ask, Lord God, that you would open every single heart and every single mind that is here today, Lord God, that your word would transform, that we wouldn't just be here just to be excited, Lord God, but that we would keep that sense of you being with us, Lord God, and being the one that we've come to worship, Lord God. Do what it is that you want to do in this place in Jesus' precious name." And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. So yeah, here we are at our third service. Third service, the Elevate service. And a few people are like, what's this Elevate all about? Well, it was just a nice name to call a third service. Sorry to let you down. No, I'm joking. It's all about elevating. We're going to a next level. It's all about growth. It's all about taking the city of Manchester for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Is there anybody who's excited about that? We just had a powerful outreach just the other day where we saw souls get saved right there in Piccadilly Gardens. People came and gave their life to God after the preaching because Jesus wants to do a powerful thing through this ministry. And this Elevate service is all about giving room for God to do what it is that he wants to do. First of all, I just want to start with saying I'm so thankful for what God has done in my life. I'm thankful for the opportunity that I've been given by Pastor Paul, Sister Vicky, the leadership team, to allow me to preach the first time on this Elevate service. You know what I mean? Like, how am I here preaching? I'm like, all right, let's do this. God is doing something. He's doing something in the church. He's doing something in me. And it's a huge honor to be here preaching today. I found my wonderful wife. She's on the crutches today. So she's hobbling along, doing her thing. But she's supportive with the one leg. And she's doing it well. Come on now. But she's doing it well. I love you. With the cast. Come on now. But most importantly, I thank Jesus. I thank God for what he's done in my life. I thank God for what he's doing in this church. And I just say that I'm seeing wonderful things taking place with this congregation. And if we just prepare ourselves, if we just open our hearts, open our minds, and say, God, use me. God, do what you want to do with my life. Then God is going to take us to an amazing place. And the title of this message today is Shaping the Mind of a Disciple. Shaping the Mind of a Disciple. Because it's all about elevating. And we want to shape the mindsets of disciples. We had a wonderful two services today. The first service, Pastor Anthony spoke so powerfully, so eloquently. And he spoke about disciples. And Pastor Paul smashed it, second service as usual. And he was talking about process, you know, and people going through a process and the different effects it has on people's lives, people's hearts, and the right way to go through the process. And I want to carry on in that vein. I mean, we didn't speak about what we're going to preach, but how many people know that this church is a church that's led by the Spirit of God? So we are in tune with the Holy Ghost, and that's why the preaching has a similar vein. So back to the program, John 6, 16 to 21, we see a situation where the disciples are in pursuit of Jesus. Now, before this, Jesus had just performed a great miracle before their sight. There was the feeding of the 5,000. How many people who are in remembrance of that story? Can I see a show of hands? Show of hands of those who know that story. That's a very familiar story. And it just took place not long before this circumstance that just arose for the disciples. So we know that Jesus, you know, he got a little bit of bread, got a little bit of fish, and he multiplied that thing, and he fed 5,000 people with just a few loaves and just a few little fish. And the multitude saw this take place, and they knew that Jesus was sent from somewhere greater than down the road. Can somebody say amen? Somewhere greater than down the road. The eyes started to spark up. It's like, okay, maybe some of the rumors that we're hearing about this Jesus is true. Because I tell you this, if I said I was the Messiah and you wasn't believing me, maybe if I came to your house, took out a few loaves of bread, took out a bit of fish, went to a stadium and fed everybody, you might start thinking to yourself, whoa, maybe, just maybe this guy could be who he says that he is. And Jesus just did that. The multitude wanting to make him a physical king at that time. That's what he wanted to do. There's like, this guy is busting it, he's multiplying things. I've got a few debts, you know what I mean? Let me give him some of my change. Jesus Christ can multiply that, and that'll be nice. So let's make him our king on earth, and that'll all be jigged. But Jesus was not into the earth thing, and Jesus said, you know what? I've come for something deeper than being an earthly king. I've come to do a deeper work, and they have misunderstood what it is that was said about me, and therefore, I'm going to creep off, and I'm going to go to the other side of this pond, and I'm going to reside there for just a little while, and I'm going to wait for all this drama to calm down. Now, the disciples, they decided to follow him over to the other side. And as they followed him over to the other side, the next thing that they recognized was that waves started to get a little bit turbulent on this piece of water. And the first thing that I want to talk about today is when Jesus is shaping the mindset of a disciple, one of the things that he wants you to recognize really early on in your walk, after you get through the honeymoon period and you've got the goosebumps and, you know, you're filled when you're feeling all great and you're flowing into the service and it's all good. Does everyone remember that feeling? Some people still going through that feeling. That feeling's good, man. But, you know, Jesus would like to take you into some situations when you will come to realize that the walk of salvation is one of process. And he wants to quickly make you come to understand that is a process that he wants to take you through. You see, the interesting thing about this circumstance is the fact that the disciples were not long in a place where they were seeing Jesus do miracles. But it wasn't long after that where the very disciples that saw Jesus do miracles were faced with a circumstance where doubt started to set in and fear started to set in. It can be similar to our walks. How many of us have been in that situation where we heard about the gospel, we heard about the goodness of God. God stepped in, he's transformed your life, he's turned it around, he started to put things in place, but then you're faced with a circumstance and you're like, Jesus, what is this all about? What is this circumstance all about? Or how many people have had situations in their life where they have wonderful testimonies, just like Sister Miranda. She had a wonderful testimony that we just heard of right there. You know, she was believing for a job. She was believing for quite a specific job, to be honest. And the job that was offered to her was not really fitting it 100%, but she had faith, she believed in Jesus, and the next thing you know, boom, situation had turned right around. You see, when we are believing in God for certain things and we're following God and we're believing in what it is that he's doing, it can first of all start off as a nice, smooth journey, but all of a sudden, we can find ourselves faced with challenges. You see, the Apostle Paul, this is one of my best scriptures, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, he said, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, the disciples were being brought into a circumstance. One thing that you have to bear in mind is the fact that the disciples going out on this water and it getting turbulent, it wasn't a surprise to Jesus. It wasn't a surprise to Jesus. It might have been a surprise to them, but it wasn't a surprise to him because Jesus knows absolutely everything. So therefore, when Jesus went over the water, knowing that the disciples were going to follow him, he knew also that they was going to hit a turbulent time. So whenever you see something like that in scripture, the question that you should ask yourself is, why was it that Jesus allowed them to go through this situation? Why did he allow them to get into the boat? Why did he allow them to get into this time when it got real turbulent and started stirring before their face? Why did he allow it to happen? Well, the reason is because God wanted to show his power. He wanted to show the power of his hand. He wanted to show that no matter what the circumstance looked like, he is able to step in and transform that in just one moment. Is there anyone who's excited about the fact that Jesus can step in to your situation, no matter what it is, and turn that around in just one moment? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. You see, sometimes in our own strength, we like to try and go about getting things done. But when we go about getting things done in our own strength, it limits the amount that God is allowed to use us with. You see, the thing is with these guys, they could go out and they could, you know, operate a boat. We can tell that they could do that because they was going to the other side. But when the storm came, when there was something of nature that was bigger than them, they quickly found that their own ability was not able to save them from the situation that they were facing. How many people are there? I mean, we got the men's home. Can the men's home make some noise? Can the women's home make some noise? You see, we got some treasures in the building that found themselves in situations where life got tough, life got hard. They came to a point of life where they couldn't do it for themselves. They recognized that all the options, all the choices that they had chose to take them forward was hitting a wall, and they needed something greater than them. And at that time, Jesus stepped in. Can someone say amen? You see, Jesus not only wanted to let the disciples know that life is going to be about a form of process, but also he wanted to scoop their understanding to come to understand that he is enough. That Jesus is enough. You see, the thing about this walk that we have in Jesus is it's not about feeling good. Walking with Jesus is not about feeling good. Don't get me wrong. Walking with God feels good. But the walk with God is not about feeling good. That's the difference. And you see, sometimes what happens when you're bouncing along and you're feeling good, God will just say, okay, all right, let me step back just a little bit. And let me see how you respond when it doesn't feel so good. Let me see how you respond when it doesn't feel all brimming with excitement. Let's see how you respond now. Do you still remain loyal to the call upon your life? Do you still remain committed to what it is that God has called you to do? You see, there's sometimes in life when it feels like Jesus is close. And then there's sometimes in lives when it feels like Jesus is distant. But the thing is God is often putting you through a process to see how it is that you are going to respond. Can someone say amen? You see, the boat had gone out onto the storm. That wind was a big wind. And everything got a little bit hectic. You see, what we see at that circumstance, we see a moment of distance. There's a distance. You see, before, they were with Jesus, and he was feeding the multitude. But now, Jesus was at a distance, and they were surrounded by the storm. Has anybody found themselves in two situations that don't seem to weigh up? One moment, I was being spoke to, touched by God. I was standing at the altar. He was speaking into my heart. He was giving me visions and dreams. I was ready to take the world. And then the next minute, I find myself faced with challenges. I've applied for that job. Didn't get a response. The letter came through the door. There was a bill. I phoned up my friend. They started making noise on the phone for no reason. For some reason, I've done something that I didn't know I did. I'm going through drama. I'm going through warfare. I do not know what this is all about. Wait a minute, I thought I was saved. Wait a minute, I thought that I was called for great things. Wait a minute, I thought that I was saved by the sanctifying blood of Jesus Christ, but yet I find myself going through some stuff that don't make no sense. What is that about? That's because God has not called you for a feel-good factor. And what he wants to do is, he wants to take you away from small thinking and bring you into a process of big thinking and spiritual maturity. So he starts to take you through the process. So you're out on the water, now you're surrounded by the storm. Where's your faith now? Where's your faith now? It was all good when everything was feeling good and you were saying, you know, there was £1,000 in the bank and pastor said, right, okay, double tithe. And he said, yeah, all right, I'm on this. Boom, crash. It was all good. I'm ready to double tithe. I want to see this £1,000 turn into £2,000. It's happening. It's all good. You know, but then next month, went into work. Got fired. What? I'm sanctified. I'm saved. What's that fired about? You can't fire me. Do you know who my father is? Don't let me go and have some words with him and let him have some words with you. But now you got nothing in the bank. And you get to a situation where you're ready to do your double tithe. Come on. They've been talking about reaching the city, reaching the lost. Talking about getting a rehab home that will be able to bring in new souls, that there will be space for them to come in and get filled with the Holy Ghost and get changed. And you were saying, yeah, time to sow. Time to sow. Money's tight now. Are you going to stay committed to what it is, to what it is that God spoke to you now? It's a new season. It's a new process. Now we want to test the heart conditions. Now we want to see what's really going on in the heart. And that's what the disciples were experiencing when they were on this storm. You see, Jesus, the first thing he did when he came over to the disciples is he said, "It is I. It is I. Do not be afraid." The reason why Jesus said that is because there's something that we need to remember when we're in the heart of our challenges. When we're in the heart of our challenges, we need to remind ourselves of who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of the living God. Jesus is the one that when he steps in to a situation, when Jesus steps in to your situation, he's able to transform that thing and turn it 100% into a different looking situation. Let me explain something to you because I don't think you're catching what I'm saying. I'm saying that your situation before Jesus steps in does not need to look okay. Your situation when Jesus steps in doesn't necessarily have to have a logical way out for you. It needs to be a situation where once Jesus shows up, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how messed up it is or how long you've been going through it. The very moment that he steps up on the scene, you need to remember and understand who it is that is there with you in your battle, going through it with you, taking you through. Jesus is the Son of the living God. Another way of saying it is Jesus is God in the flesh. He was God in the flesh when he walked on this earth. And there is nothing that can come into your boat. There is nothing that can surround your boat. There is nothing that can be turbulent enough to bring destruction to your life before Jesus is willing to show up. You see, God will never put you through more than you can bear. John 4:18 says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. You see, I will go as far as saying that these disciples, they were not made perfect in love. They wasn't made perfect in love. Yes, they had followed Jesus. Yes, they had seen him do miraculous signs. But the question for me is really there, like, did they really understand the purpose of Jesus Christ? Did they really understand what it was that he actually came for? Because when you understand the power of the cross, when you understand the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, when you understand that he removed all sin and he made a way for you to be connected with your Father in heaven, that he can step in at any time and turn your situation around. When you understand that love, then that perfect love casts out fear. And you can be facing a situation now. And you're saying to yourself, will God step in and turn this around for me? Will he step in and do it? The real question that you're asking is, does he really love me? Does he really love me? Because I'll tell you this. If your child was on a boat and the boat was at sea and the waves were becoming so big that they would tear that boat apart, you would not stand back and watch that happen. And no matter what your situation is, I've come to tell you today and give you a message that Jesus is watching and Jesus knows that you are going through challenges and he is ready and he is willing to step in to your situation because he loves you. There was a situation where the disciples and a few people around at the time were talking about a situation that took place in the Old Testament when the children of Israel, they were in the wilderness and, you know, God performed a miracle. And there was some manna that came from heaven. It was different, man. It wasn't like Weetabix, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like Weetabix. It wasn't like Hovis, you know what I mean? It wasn't Hovis or Weetabix. It was of a heavenly substance. Heavenly substance. And it was showered down and they ate it. And he filled them, and, you know, they were all good. It blessed them. They were fed. And they were talking about this miracle that was done. And it came to Jesus' ear. And Jesus came to a point where he had to say, look, listen, you don't understand what this bread was about. You don't understand that this bread that was showered down, this bread was talking about me. I am the bread of life. I am the one that it was attesting to. I am the one that once I've come to earth and I've done my purpose and I've done my thing, I'm the one who says it's finished. I'm the one who says that all the situations in your life that would just usually walk in and smash you to pieces can happen no more. I'm the one who says, yes, I will let you go through a process. Yes, I'll let you go through some things, but the process that you go through is not going to break you apart. The process that you go through is going to only make you a better individual and prepare you for the calling that I placed upon your life. And this leads on to the third point, which is Jesus was molding the disciples to have a mindset to believe for the impossible. You see, Jesus likes a mind that can deal with the fact that he deals with the possible and the impossible. He doesn't want you to go through life having a mindset. And I'm not talking about, because there's some weird people out there. Let's keep it real. Some people get overexcited on this miracle thing and start asking God to just do random stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, right, okay, the bills won't pay them. God will pay them. Let's pray for a miracle. God will do it. I'm not talking about that. But the point of the matter is this. Let's have a look at this pulpit. Let's say that this side of the pulpit here deals with natural possible circumstances, the stuff that's tangible, the stuff that you can get your head around, like, okay, God could do that. Like, for example, I'm expecting a healing, and I believe that God could empower my nurse to be on the job, on the day, and do it right. So that's a natural circumstance. But now, we have this side of the pulpit, and we're talking about supernatural. So what we're saying is, somebody's sick, and now it's terminal, and now it doesn't look like there's anything by natural means that can step in and transform this situation. You see, this is one thing that God has shown me, is whether it's natural or whether it's supernatural, it's all the same to him. It doesn't make a difference whether it's over here on the right or if it's over here on the left. The only person who it makes a difference to is us. Because we're the ones who are looking at the circumstance and saying, right, okay, this circumstance here, I feel like I can handle it. I can understand how this one could go right. I could understand how God could put that over there and that over there and fix it. But over here now, I don't know. I can't see how any human effort can step in and fix this situation. And sometimes what God does is he says, you know what? We've spent a little bit too much time over here. We've spent too much time in this natural circumstance where you've been able to see things get fixed and dealt with by means that you can understand. You ain't understanding who I am. Let me take you over here onto the deep side. Let's go a little bit deeper. Now I've brought you into a situation that is full of danger, full of temptation, full of so many circumstances that are beyond natural ability. Now you need to believe on me. Why is it that God wants to do that? Because God is shaping your thinking. God wants to take you from small thinking to big thinking. And the reason being is because in this world, God is not happy with doing small things. We serve a big God. And what it is he wants to do things through us, but sometimes we're not ready. Sometimes we're not ready for what it is that he wants to do. You see, the thing is right now we've gone into free services because we're ready to elevate. But why is that? That's because we are aligning ourselves with what it is that God wants to do in this city. You see, the thing is Pastor Paul said that he sees this service, well, not the service, but the church going to 3,000. 3,000 because he has been at the knees, on his knees, at the face of Jesus, and he has received the vision for this church. The question is where will you fall in that? Where will you fall in line with the vision that he sees for this church? Because it going from where it is now to going from where it is then is supernatural. You see, the thing is I come to understand, and I mentioned this at the gang service the other day, is that we have leaders who were before us who were stepping out consistently in supernatural situations, stepping out in faith. I mentioned, why do you think that it is that your pastor right here in Manchester is a Cockney? Why is it that your senior pastor is a Cockney? We're in Salford. Salford, Manchester. The reason being is because one day there was a courageous man of God called Paul Lloyd, who decided with his wife, Victoria Lloyd, to uproot their life and take the step to Victory Outreach Manchester, believing that there's going to be a move of God that has never been seen before. And that is the thinking that we're supposed to have. We need to be thinking outside the box. You see, we did an outreach the other day, and there was a few souls that came forward. But no, we're not satisfied with that. We want to be filled in football fields, football stadiums. We need to be thinking big because Jesus wants to do a big thing. You see, our ministry, we have an anointing to go into cities and take cities for the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ. Can someone get excited about that? We're not a church that goes into a city and is just happy with sitting down and going through the motions. No. We're a church that goes into a city. We look around. We say there's some souls around here. There's some people who need Jesus. There's some people who need to hear the message of hope that we have. And we go to the darkest places and we preach the gospel and lives get changed and lives get transformed and the power of God falls down and addiction gets broken and people get set free. That is the ministry that we are a part of. See, the thing is when you're in a church that is moving forward, when you're in a church that is going from small thinking to big thinking, you'll find yourself in the midst of what we call today warfare. Warfare. You'll start to find that your life will get hit from different directions. You'll find that you are, like them disciples were, on the boat, surrounded by torrents, surrounded by waves, surrounded by things that are starting to challenge your faith. But you have to understand, church, that God allows you to go through certain circumstances. You have to understand that he wants to take you through a process. You have to understand that sometimes it's not going to feel good. Sometimes it's going to feel like a bit of a challenge. But why is that? That's because God wants to shape you. God wants to prepare you for the next step in your life. God wants to take you to another level. You see, every single church that has gone out and taken cities, they are led by a pastor who had to go through some process. They are led by leaders who had to go through some transforming processes and situations. Now, not everybody's called to take a city. But everybody is called to do big things for Jesus. So you might take a city. You might be the head of a men's home or a women's home. You might just support the move financially. You might be a great business owner. Or you might go on to do whatever it is that God's called you to do. But the point of the matter is this. Whatever it is that you're called to, whatever it is that you have got in your heart that God has said, this is the thing that I've called you to do. Are you going to be thinking small time or are you going to be thinking big? Because that's what this Elevate service is all about. It's about elevation. It's about opening your mind and expanding it and saying, God, step in and do what it is that you want to do, because I know that you want to do a big thing. Can everybody stand? Church, we're going to a new level. We're going to a new place. And I just want to encourage everybody to know, look, listen. God will see you through your process. God will see you through your circumstance. God has not forgot about you. Jesus is right there. And Jesus is ready to step in. You see, because when Jesus appeared to them on the boat, on the water, it says that they accepted him in. They accepted him into the boat. They accepted him into the circumstance. And you're going to have the opportunity to do that today. Because sometimes in situations, we find ourselves getting hit with the torrents of life, and we're trying to deal with it in our natural strength. We're trying to deal with it with natural means. And today God is saying, look, no more. No more dealing with it yourself. I want you to come and I want you to lay it down. So right now, as the worship team worship, I want to ask if this word has touched you, that you will come forward to the front right now. Just come to the front. Don't look to the right or to the left. Just come forward. Come and see God's face.
Father, all of heaven wrote your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Sing louder.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.